is week three of the 2022 college football season. This is the We Hate Your Team podcast. I'm Kelly Ford, and with me, as always, is my co-host, Zach King. Kinger, week three is here. How are we doing?
Doing great, man. Some say week three may be the dullest slate of the year. Only two top 25 matchups this week, but that does not matter to us. There is still great college football across the board. A lot of questions will be answered about a lot of top teams this week. I'm looking forward to another week of some great matchups.
Yeah, King, I don't want to hear anybody say this is a dull week, right? Like, okay, there's only two AP top 25 matchups. Make the AP what you will. We just saw how wild college football can be in week two. We had hints of the 2007 season, some people are saying. A little too early for me to go there. But we've seen anything can happen on any given Saturday. I don't want to hear anyone saying it's going to be dull. We're going to talk about 10 games today, but there's plenty more out there. I'm really excited about this one, Kinger.
Yeah, me as well. And I agree with you. Just on paper, matchups this week, maybe not quite the most appealing to the casuals, as you like to call them, Kelly. But as we saw, craziness happens every weekend in college football. This is an important week. As always, as all of them are, it's still going to be a lot of great football.
Credit where credit is due. Casuals, I believe, trademarked by Josh Pate. But yes, I have adopted that verbiage and much more from Josh as I've gotten to know him a little bit. All right, King, it's not just us tonight, though. We are super excited to have with us a guest that we wanted to have on last year, actually, Kinger. But for some technical difficulties, we were unable to do it on the night of the recording. But tonight, we welcome in BetSpurt's featured writer, SB. SB, how we doing tonight, man?
How's it going, guys? Thanks for having me. Really excited. Sorry about last year, but super excited for tonight. Get to talk some college football.
100%. No worries at all. We are so excited that you're on with us. SB, I can't help but notice, sounds like a little bit of an accent. You aren't happen to be from the Northeast, are you?
Yep, Boston boy, born and bred. So I live about 30 minutes south of Boston right now and diehard all Boston sports. So I'm sure someone's going to hate a Boston team in this. I'm sure one of you guys do.
Well, this is We Hate Your Team, so the hate definitely goes around. Kinger, I'll take it first. I don't know how you feel about Boston sports, but SB, I am an Indianapolis Colts fan. And for basically the majority of my childhood into adolescence, shoot, man, into adulthood, the New England Patriots were the thorn in the Colts side. I'm sure you all don't even care about the Colts because you beat us so freaking often. We cannot stand the Colts. I cannot stand Tom Brady. Yes, I know he's moved on. I have not. So, yeah, Boston sports, no good for me. But SB, I will say to your Bruins fan, too, I imagine, Torrey Krug, there's a name for you. I actually went to high school with him for a year. Big fan of Torrey Krug, friend of mine. I know he's with the Blues now, but I still have his 47 Boston Bruins jersey. So I'll give you the Bruins. Can't stand the Pats. Kinger, what are your thoughts on Boston sports?
Well, I'm a Northeast guy originally myself. A lot of people don't know that about me. I was born and lived in Connecticut for the first 8 years of my life, so I've been gone for a long time. But some of my earliest memories were of the Boston sports fans along with New York. Was never a big Tom Brady guy growing up. He's grown on me a lot now. Respect him a lot more. But my most hated Boston team's got to be the Boston Celtics if we're talking over the NBA. Their battles with the Bulls in the late 2000s, early 2010s, some great matchups. They were always the top team in the East there for that steady number of years. So my hatred's more on that. But outside of that, I don't really have an issue with the Boston sports teams.
Yeah, I respect it. We've also had some good battles. At least one of us or two of us haven't hang a division banner, right? Or wild card winner. What was the banner the Colts hung there?
All right. Hang on, because I got to go on record here since SB is talking some stuff about the Colts. SB, you know, believe it or not, I've actually posted about this on Twitter before as well. I hate that the Colts hang divisional banners. I hate that we hang wild card appearance banners. In my opinion, there should be two banners, maybe three if you really want to. There should be two banners that hang in Lucas Oil Stadium where the Indianapolis Colts play. One should be the Super Bowl champion banner that we have from Super Bowl 41, absolutely. One should be the when we hosted the Super Bowl back in 2012. And some people will roll their eyes at that or say, what about that? The city of Indianapolis takes great pride in putting on sporting events, college or collegiate, professional, amateur, it doesn't matter. The city of Indianapolis takes great pride in being a sports town and in hosting sports events. Hosting the Super Bowl in Indianapolis in 2012 was a massive thing for the city. It's a massive thing for these people. I firmly believe that banner, which does hang in Lucas Oil, should be there. And then the other one, if you want to put it in there, we did participate in the Super Bowl in 2009, so if you want to put the AFC champion banner up there from 09, I could go either way on that one. But yeah, all the fluff of divisional winners, all the fluff of wild card appearances, guys, who cares? That was fine before we had a Super Bowl. Now we have a Super Bowl. Get those other ones out of there and just keep that big boy up there, man. So I'm with you. Well, anyway, now that we've talked about our hatred for banners that don't mean anything and Tom Brady and the Celtics and all that other good stuff, SB, why don't you take a few minutes? You've told us you're from Boston. You're all things Boston sports. We're having you on because you are a well-respected and renowned college football handicapper. So why don't you tell us a little bit about yourself, about your handicapping experience? How did you get into this business? What drew you to it? What do you like about it? The floor is yours. Tell us about yourself and about your handicapping experience, specifically in college football, but also if you dabble in other sports, we want to hear about that too.
Yeah, sure. So, I guess I got my start on gambling Twitter when I made this account in 2016, the account Sure Bets, and the account name is just a straight joke between friends. Like, a lot of my friends will make bets in college and they're like, oh, it's a sure bet. But as you guys know, in gambling, nothing's a sure bet. So when creating the Twitter name, that's just kind of what I kind of went with. And it's, some people have laughed about it. They're like, that's a funny name. I'm like, I know, it's pretty good. So yeah, just started with that. And then I don't even know how I found gambling Twitter. It was right after college. I didn't even know it was a thing really. And then something popped up on my regular Twitter one day for sports betting. And I looked into it more and I see different people, different accounts have 5, 10, 15, 20,000 followers. There's some people who are touts who sell picks, some people who give away free picks. And I had gotten into gambling in college and I thought, this might be something I would be interested in, given my tips, given my thoughts on games. I'm no analytical, like, database type person, so I don't have a formula or like anything like that that some of the math people do. I kind of just look at stats, look at news, look at line movement, stuff like that. Look at what smart people are saying. And I base all that into my handicap for all the sports I cover. I wish I was smart enough to build a formula or something like that, but truthfully, I'm not a math guy. So
Kelly, this is my guy I've been waiting on right here. This is my guy I've been waiting on to have the show. This is SB, you and I, one and the same with our methods, man. That's how you handicap games. Exactly right.
Yeah, I mean, I wish I was better than that, but I'm not. And I'm definitely probably the least impressive guest you guys have had on, so I want to make that clear straight away. But yeah, so since the Twitter account, I just slow and steady grew my following, talked to people in the community. I've met some of them out in Vegas. We've done Vegas trips before. So some of the bigger names you guys might know I've met before, and it was really cool getting to know them, pick their brains, learning. I've learned so much in the 6 years I've been on Twitter. And then just handicapping, mostly college football, NFL, college basketball, I'd say, is my favorite bread and butter. I'm a huge hockey guy. Honestly, hockey is my favorite sport. But something about handicapping football and college basketball is just a little bit different for me and a little bit easier. It's tougher to focus on, like, I don't know, the Winnipeg Jets, for instance. So, you know, so I try to stick more towards college football, college basketball, and NFL. I dabble in some soccer once in a while too, but that's pretty much my bread and butter. And right now I do it, I would say, more than a hobby, but less, like, it's not a full-time job. Ultimately, I would love to break into the industry full-time. I think that would be awesome. And I think that's like my ultimate goal, probably in the next few years. And I've been fortunate enough that, like, Betsperts has given me a platform where once in a while I write articles for them on different games, different futures bets I may have, different opinions about the sports games or teams. And writing and just putting out the content for different games I just love to do. And that's where I want to go with it. So
SB, I have many questions, but before I get to those, tell us a little bit more. You just mentioned BetSpurts. So for our listeners who aren't familiar, you're a featured writer, but what is BetSpurts? Just real quickly for those that may not know. I mean, myself included, I checked it out because you were coming on, but I don't even know the full scope of what BetSpurts is all about.
Yeah, so I actually met the owners of it in Vegas, and I met a lot of the people that work with it in Vegas a few years ago, and it started out almost as like a action network type where you track your picks and stuff, and since then they've moved more towards content, which is cool. There's tons of different podcasts and stuff. Andy and the Whales deep dive podcast is through that, and their videos and stuff for the NFL and other sports, and they just host a bunch of video content and written content on their website now. And anyone is really they have like a main feed where even if you're not a part of like the BetSpurts team or whatever, you're able to write whatever you want on your social platform that you have, if you have their website or app. And it's almost like a Facebook feed where a new post will come up and it will be about a game, handicapping a game, someone's opinion, stats, trends, pretty much anything. And they're just trying to grow that. I think, I want to say they probably 4 years now they've been around officially, and they're just trying to keep continuing to grow. And yeah, that's and so they've allowed me a platform to write some content, so I take advantage when I can.
That is awesome. And don't sell yourself short here, SB. You said you're the least impressive guest we've had or whatever. Like, what you just laid out and what you're able to do and the respect that you garnered in the sports betting community, I mean, that's impressive, man. We don't have just anybody on this show, so I think that is awesome. We're so excited to have you. As King said, I think your approach to college football might be a little bit more up his alley than mine. I am the math nerd, I guess, is what we're going with tonight. It sounds like building the model and kind of following the numbers. You and King are much more aligned there. So, Kinger, I know you've got to have a burning question or two for SB here before we get into the picks, so have at it, man.
Yeah, ultimately, you said college, that's when you started betting, right? I got introduced to gambling right after college. What was it that kind of just immediately hooked you to it? And when did you know, like off the bat, that this was something that you wanted to take seriously?
I don't even know when maybe when I saw my following growing on the Twitter account is when I started taking it more seriously. Like, I think I just passed 7,000 followers, and I'm like still blown away by that like 7,000 people decided to follow me because of the content and plays I put out. And that just amazed me. Like, even when I didn't even think I would get up to like 500 people. So to get to that point, that's when I really started, when it got to a couple thousand, I started taking it like, oh, this could be something. And I don't know. I like the thrill of the game. I like trying to predict what's going to happen or what I think will happen. If I think a team is good, do they prove it that night based on the spread or what I'm watching previously, or do they fall, or am I completely wrong about a team? Just stuff like that. And I'm just a huge sports guy in general, so like my life is all sports. So in between me and my friends, that's all we do, talk, live is sports pretty much. So it was something very easy when all your friends are into it the same way that you are, and just having just regular conversations like that.
Definitely. And I think the agreeance with you, what you're saying, just challenging yourself, knowing, are you smarter than Vegas, right? Do you think one team is better than X team is better than Y team? Do you think this team's going to score X amount of points? Just kind of testing your own sports knowledge and putting it up each week, just having something extra to tune into those games. It is addicting. It's like adrenaline straight to the veins, and I absolutely love it. And your method, my method, man, same exact thing. So I look forward to hearing how our picks compare this week and talking about bets at the end. It's been a while since we've had a betting guy on the show. We've had a lot of the analytics guys. Absolutely love all our guests. Everybody brings their own unique insight, and I'm just excited to bring this betting to the forefront on this week's episode.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to it. Should be good.
I think SB would have fit in really well at 640, Kinger. What do you think? I mean, in terms of what he's talking about.
I agree. He'd be one of the guys, that's for sure.
Love that. Well, SB, let's get right into it. Before we get into picking our 10 games tonight, I know you had said you want to talk a little bit about week two and just how crazy it was, as we alluded to earlier. Kinger and I did do about a 20-25 minute recap of week two a couple days ago. It's up on our YouTube page. It's up on our Twitter, at WeHateYourTeam_, as well as King and I's personal Twitters. But SB, pick one or two games that you want to talk about from week two, and King and I will give our thoughts as well before we talk about these week three games, because I know you definitely wanted to recap just some of the craziness that we saw last week.
Yeah, I mean, I think you got to start with the Alabama-Texas game. I don't even know where to begin with that one. I think if Quinn Ewers doesn't get hurt, Texas wins that by 14+. He was playing so good, throwing the ball so good, making deep throws. He had Alabama scared, and it was only he led them to 2 scoring drives, the first 2 drives of the game, and then he leaves, and Texas never really – I mean – they were able to put up points and stay in the game because of their defense, but they were never able to make the touchdown drives that they needed to. And I also think Sark, that's a little bit on him. A couple times there, I think they should have gone for it. Field goals don't usually beat Bama, and that was the case again this weekend. So that's how I feel about that one.
I'm glad you brought that one up first, SB, because as King and I got off the live show the other night, we looked at each other and said, we just talked for 25 minutes about week two, and we didn't talk about Bama at Texas at all. So we haven't even given our thoughts on that. Kinger, I'll let you take
terrible on our part.
I'll let you take
terrible
it first.
On our part.
I'll let you take it first, Kinger, because I was actually in the car for the majority of that game on my way up to a tailgate at Purdue, which is a whole other story. But Kinger, Texas, Alabama, what do you think?
Boys, we were this close to just having a massive upset, and my Saturday just going to a whole different level of happiness here. But like SB said, just the little mistakes cost Texas here at the end. I was honestly very impressed with how Texas came out. I mean, it is the biggest game that they've had in quite some time. Wasn't a lot of pressure on Texas, but Ewers looked great. I think the Texas defense, which is what I said last week on the podcast, what I thought was going to be a problem, they played fantastic. That front seven held up just fine with that Bama offensive line. I think the Bama offense maybe needs to have a little bit of a reevaluation. I think the play calling and some of the situational football maybe wasn't the best from a Saban team this week, but ultimately at the end of the day, what won them that football game was their Heisman Trophy winner, Bryce Young. He made some incredible plays. I still can't believe he avoided that corner blitz on that third down on the game-winning drive that ended up with the field goal. But it lived up to the hype, and I wish Bama would have gone down, but the season total over 11.5 wins is still alive for Alabama. I will say I'm definitely a little bit more unsure of that now, but it was a great football game. I like the early big noon, 11 o'clock slot. A lot of people wish the game was later, but I was pretty happy with it, and I like the big game to start the day on Saturday.
Welcome to the good side, Kinger. So many people hate on big-time games at noon Eastern, 11 Central. I live in the Eastern time zone, so I just say noon. Like, guys, we have 3, call it 4 if you really want to include the late-night windows, but we have 3 primary windows of games on Saturdays. Why would we not diversify and put at least one big game in each window? Everyone that wants to put all the big games at 7 o'clock at night or 8 o'clock at night or at 3:30 or 7 and 3:30. Like, guys, we have 3 windows. Why would we forego the first window and just backload everybody into the second half? It makes no sense. I absolutely love big noon kickoff. I love that this game was played then. I don't have much to add. I wasn't able to watch it as closely as I would have liked. But what SB said, with Quinn Ewers in the game, maybe it turns out differently. How eerily similar is this to the last time these two teams squared off back in 2009? I guess it was technically 2010, but the 2009 season, BCS National Championship game, Colt McCoy gets injured, Alabama goes on to win. Many people think, myself included, if Colt McCoy remains in the game, we will never know, so it doesn't matter. But Texas definitely would have had a chance to win that game if Colt McCoy's there. Same thing here in 2022. Quinn Ewers stays in the game, doesn't get hurt. There's a good chance Texas has a chance to win that game. We will never know how it goes, of course. SB, pick one more game. We'll talk about it, and then we'll dive into the week 3 games because I know that's what our listeners definitely want to hear.
Hold on, one more thing. I just want to second Kinger and say that Texas D-line, they shot up my personal rankings like high. That defense was legit. And Alabama's secondary, not as good as advertised either. A lot of weak spots, a lot of holes right there. I'm sure Saban will turn it around, but we'll see. Let's see. I mean, Texas A&M, do we go there?
There you go. Let's go there. Since we did Texas, let's do A&M. Give us your thoughts, SB. King and I did break this one down just a little bit, but curious to hear your thoughts.
I just don't understand how it happened. I mean, the week before, Appalachian State gives up 600 yards and over 60 points, and then Texas A&M looks like a Division III school. Like, they're inept. I think I saw a tweet that said they, in the middle of the fourth quarter, they had only ran two plays over the 50-yard line. I don't even understand how that's possible after the week Appalachian State had coming to Texas A&M. I don't know if they overlooked them, but Texas A&M has a lot of problems, and Jimbo should be definitely worried.
I just think that offense just keeps regressing. You know, every year it seems like the Texas A&M defense is what's having to keep them in it. Things go bad this week. I don't know if that seat's going to maybe start getting a little bit warm for Jimbo Fisher. I don't know if you guys saw the stats this week. He's got one more loss or one more win. I can't remember it off the top of my head than Kevin Sumlin did through his first 50 games at Texas A&M. You can, you know, pay the recruiting class. You can get all the 5 stars, 4 stars in there, match it up with Alabama and the best in the country, but you still got to develop that talent on the field, and that's definitely an area that Texas A&M has lacked and continuing to do so up until this point.
He's got one less win than Kevin Sumlin had.
One less win. Okay. So Sumlin has had more success in the first 50 games. That's crazy.
Here's what this game came down to for me. App State's scheme outperformed Texas A&M's raw talent advantage, right? Like, the Texas A&M offense is living in the past. And Jimbo Fisher refuses to update that offense. He refuses to make changes. He refuses to evolve with the game. The reason that Nick Saban has been the most successful coach of our lifetimes, and we're all about the same age, of our lifetimes, and I would argue very strongly that he's been the most successful college football head coach in the history of college football, going back to 1869 when Rutgers and Princeton got together, or whoever that game was, I believe those were the teams. Guys, Nick Saban has been the best, and the reason he can remain on top is not because he always brings in the best talent every year. He does. But he evolves with the game. He makes changes to his approach, offense, defense, whatever it is. Jimbo Fisher has refused to change, and it shows. Texas A&M, my number's projected 8-4 for this year. A lot of people gave me some crap for that. I'll tell you what, right now, 8-4 might be the high end of what they can do if that offense continues to look the way it has. So absolutely agree with you there, SB and King. We're actually going to pick both those games. We got App State Troy on the slate, and we have Texas A&M Miami. So much more about those two teams as we get going. Speaking of, let's dive right into it here. We're going to pick 10 games, confidence point style, as always. The first game we have here, I think the storylines are actually bigger off the field than on for this one, even though they are two blue bloods of college football. We've got the Oklahoma Sooners going on the road to play the Nebraska Cornhuskers. I think there was some news out of Lincoln this week. I don't know if you guys saw it. Scott Frost, I think he is no longer the head football coach at Nebraska. Kinger, what's Vegas think about this game? What's the line? What's the over-under?
Oklahoma is laying 11.5 on the road, over-under sitting at 65.
Oklahoma 11.5, over-under 65. Okay, I'm going to take this one first because, to me, this game, I have no idea what to make of it. And I think I posted on this on Twitter earlier this week. My numbers, this spread started at like 16.5. It's come down to 11.5. It's all over the board. People are on both sides of this. My numbers, without accounting for the Scott Frost effect here, like Oklahoma by 10.5 points. I've got Oklahoma as the number 11 team in the country. I've got Nebraska number 60. They are underperforming. Again, win-loss record relative to what you would expect of a team of Nebraska's quality this year. Losing all these one-possession games again, that's ultimately what cost Scott Frost his job. I don't know if not having Scott Frost is going to make me feel more inclined that the spread should be higher or lower in this game. Like, I really don't know. I've seen this go both ways, right? You lose your coach, the team galvanizes, they get up for this big game. It's a massive non-conference opponent, high stakes, you know, you're at home, energy's going to be flowing. Or it could be the exact opposite. We've lost our coach, everything's dead, the season is gone, things get off the tracks, and they just have an absolute dud. I don't know which way this game's going to go. I'm very excited to see, I hope, just from as a neutral fan, that Nebraska gets up for this game and we have a good game. But like I said, I like Oklahoma in this one. I like them by 10.5 points. It's a 78% win probability. So give me the Sooners, and I'm going to take them for 8 confidence points. SB, what do you think about this game that has so many question marks?
Yeah, I think there's a lot to answer for Nebraska after firing Scott Frost. I think one of the crazy thing is if they fired him 2 weeks later, they would have saved themselves $7.5 million. But that's a whole nother story there. Nebraska, they got some problems, especially on the defensive end. But there was one bright spot the last 3 weeks, and that's been their offense, surprisingly. Last week they put up 575 yards, 33 first downs. Week before that, 437 yards, 26 first downs. Week before that, 465, 23 first downs. So I think the offense is there, and I don't think the Oklahoma D has shown a ton yet where they're where Brett Venables would like them to be coming from Clemson. He's used to that Clemson defense. In Oklahoma, I think that defense is going to take a little bit of time to get there. Oklahoma, they were 3 for 12 on third down last week, which is partly the reason why it was only 33 to nothing. Well, 33 to 3, I believe. 33-3, and then they scored 30 unanswered. So they got to be better on third down, because I think Nebraska will be able to move the ball. And where the total sits right now, around 65, that I don't have the lines up right now, but I think that implies Nebraska's team total is going to be around 27.5, which could be a number I could bite at. I mean, Thompson's looked good so far. I think they have a legit running back in Anthony Grant. He's put up some big numbers in the first three games, so it'll be interesting to see if Oklahoma can stop it. At 11, I don't think I would take Oklahoma. I mean, the number opened at 16, so people have bought down. They believe Nebraska's going to come out firing at home. I do like Oklahoma to win, though, and I will put them with 9 confidence points for the week.
Yeah, quite simple. I'm in agreement with USB that I think that Nebraska has the potential to score some points in this game. I think they're going to be revitalized a little bit. I think they are feeling some embarrassment as a team right now. I don't really know much about their interim head coach, but you got to believe that they're going to come out in probably their biggest game of the season to at least turn it around and show some fire, show some gumption. But at the end of the day, I think Nebraska's defense is a problem. I think pretty much across the board there, the front seven, the secondary, I don't think they have the talent to compete at the top end of D1. Dylan Gabriel's good. He's just efficient. I think he gets the job done. I'm actually a big fan of Marvin Mims, the Oklahoma wide receiver. I think he's an electric playmaker. Very fun. Enjoy watching him. But I think Oklahoma is going to control this game pretty much from start to finish. So I have Oklahoma with 9 confidence points.
All right, so to recap, we are all on the Sooners, and we're on them pretty big. Kinger and SB on Oklahoma for 9. I am on Oklahoma for 8. This next game, guys, a pair of West Coast teams. I'm super excited about this one. I think it's going to be a close one. Kinger, I'll let you give us the Vegas stuff, but we've got BYU going on the road to Eugene, Oregon to take on the Ducks. So, Kinger, take us away.
Yeah, Oregon is 3.5-point favorites at home. The over-under, 57. Now, guys, I got to tell you, I don't see how being after that performance last week, that BYU defense, how BYU is sitting at 3.5-point underdogs. That makes no sense to me. Yes, Oregon had a massive bounce back week. Bo Nix, 28-33 last week, 5 touchdowns. They scored 70 points, but they played Eastern Washington. We saw what happened week 1 versus Georgia. BYU's got a legitimate defense. We saw exactly what they did to what was supposed to be a pretty good Baylor offense this past weekend. I don't know that Bo Nix is the guy in Oregon. I've been on that from his days at Auburn. I'm still not sold on him. This is a tough defensive matchup, and he has folded against good defenses historically. I really like Jaren Hall in this offense as well. I don't think that Oregon defense is quite playing at the level that Lanning would expect it to be. I think he's going to need some time, kind of similar to the Venables situation at OU. I'm taking BYU straight up to win this week. I got them with 3 confidence points, but I just don't think them as an underdog, which how they've performed the first 2 weeks of the season and how Oregon's looked, I think it's a rat line to get trapped into taking Oregon this week. So I'm betting this game. I'm taking BYU, especially with that hook, and I'm taking them outright to win.
All right. Kinger taking the underdog to win outright. SB, what do you think about this one?
I agree with everything he said, but something just tells me Oregon is going to pull this out at home, even though they haven't looked great. It's just one of those games. It's a weird line to me. I think BYU plus 3.5 is probably the play. The 57 screams too much for me as well. I like the under there as well without digging too deep on it. I mean, BYU, they've allowed 2.9 yards of rush, under 5 yards of pass. They had some significant kicker issues last week, though. If you guys watched the overtime, it was insane. Fourth quarter, so they got to figure that out. And they've played one of the toughest schedules in the country to start. So they definitely have the test. And I still have a ton of questions on Bo Nix, even though he's started about 50 games in his career. It's amazing we can still have questions about a guy. But I don't know. It's a weird one for me. And so I'm going to take Oregon for 3. I don't love it. I will probably be on BYU plus 3.5, but I just think Oregon is going to pull this game out at home. I'm not really sure why, but...
There's that feel he was talking about earlier, folks. SB taking the Ducks because it just feels like it. And I can't disagree with you. I mean, I think it makes sense. I'm with you guys. I don't really understand this line. I've been very impressed with BYU so far. Oregon did have a great bounce back king, as you said. But to me, I've got BYU number 18 in the country. I did not expect them to win last week. They did in a great game, SB. I was absolutely up for that game. Kinger was as well. Much respect to those who stayed up. Geez, the game ended at like around 2:30 or 2:15, I think, Eastern time. So definitely respect those that were up with us late on Saturday night watching what ended up being a fantastic finish to a game with college kickers. What more can you say? I'm going to take BYU in this one, guys. I have this as an exact pick'em game, 50% win probability each way. BYU's number 18, Oregon's number 27. You put in the home field advantage for Oregon. It comes out 50-50. I'm going to roll with BYU. I'm taking them for one confidence point. Watch, now that I've done that, Oregon will do it. It'll be two straight weeks that I pick the wrong winner in the BYU game, but that's what I'm doing. I'm taking the Cougs. So to recap this one, Kinger and I both on BYU, neither of us confident. Kinger on the Cougars for three. I am on them for one, and SB taking Oregon 4-3. Our next game is Penn State at Auburn, guys. This is a return game from last year's whiteout. That was fantastic. Penn State getting the job done at home against the Tigers. I'm really excited about this one. I think it's going to be great. SB, let's let you go first here before we do Kinger. What's the over-under in the line on this?
It is Penn State minus 3. It's down to 2.5 now. Actually, now that I'm seeing over-under 48.
All right, SB, what do you like in this game? Penn State going down to the Plains to take on Auburn.
All right, so right off the bat, I think both teams have very good defenses. I think I saw 49 earlier today, so it's dropped even then, and I think it will continue to drop. I think that line's a little bit high at 48 or 49. I didn't love the way Penn State looked to start at Purdue. I know, big Purdue guys, so... I missed how you guys thought about that game, but Sean Clifford has played great the past two games, I think. But I think Auburn is going to try to make them one-dimensional. Auburn's defense still seems very good. They've allowed 1.9 yards against the rush to start in the first two games of the year. And Penn State has struggled to run the ball in the first two games, amazingly. They only averaged 3.1 yards a carry versus Purdue. And I think they're facing a far better rush defense in Auburn. And if Auburn is able to make them one-dimensional and put it all on Clifford, I think with their pass rush, I think Penn State might have some trouble. TJ Finley, I got nothing really good to say about him. He hasn't looked good at Auburn. I mean, they scored 24 points against San Jose State. It's just the offense looks a mess, but I think the defense is good enough to keep this one close. Auburn at home, after what happened last year, I think they're going to come for this really hard, and I'm going to take Auburn for one confidence point.
I'm going to take Penn State, and I got them higher than I'd like. I thought this week was very tough with the matchups. I got Penn State with five confidence points. Agree with everything that SB just said. Penn State has struggled to run the football the last couple of years, and I still think there were a lot of questions around Sean Clifford coming as is a six-year guy, but he has played very well through two games. I still think Nick Singletary is going to be the best back that Penn State has had since Saquon. He got loose last week, played a lot better game. He struggled, as did the entire Penn State rush offense versus Purdue week one. But I think the Penn State defense is going to make it challenging for Auburn to have success and move the ball, especially with TJ Finley. I got nothing really good to say about him either. He turns the ball over, inaccurate. It is a revenge game. It is down in Auburn, but I like Penn State to still get the win this week.
I'm going to go back to what SB said. Talking to a couple of Purdue guys. I know King was super upset. I'm not going to lie. Like, I was rooting for Purdue. I always root for Purdue, unless they're playing my actual favorite team. But my model had Penn State by 4 in that game. Penn State won by exactly 4. It's a good game for the model. I'm not going to be too upset about that aspect of it, SB, just to give you my thoughts on that game. Tough loss for Purdue, though, for sure. In terms of this game right here, I think Penn State's the better team. I know they're going into a very hostile environment. I expect it to be a great game, as I said. My numbers, as I just talked about the model, that's what I lean on. That's what I trust. I've got Penn State as the number 13 team in the country. I know Clifford is hit or miss. I know he's hot and cold. Whatever you want to say, Jekyll Hyde, I think he's going to come out. I think he's going to play a good game. I have concerns about this Auburn team. We've talked about the quarterback position. We've talked about the defense being strong, but is it going to be strong enough? Auburn has dropped in my power ratings this week or this year as we've gone throughout the season. I like Penn State in this game. I've got them number 13 in the country. Auburn's number 41. It's a 65% win probability. So I know Vegas has Penn State by 2.5. I actually like them by more than that. I like Penn State by about 5 in this game. So give me Penn State, and I'm also taking them for 5 confidence points. So for the second game in a row, Kinger and I both on the same team, this time for the same number of confidence points. Each of us like the Nittany Lions for 5, and SB on the Auburn Tigers for 1. This next game, guys, I don't have a lot to say about it. We've got Colorado going on the road to play Minnesota. The spread on this one, King, what's the spread? 27?
27.5, over under 46.5. So that tells you a little something about what they think of the Colorado offense.
Yeah, I don't really get it. I'm not sure what we're doing here. My numbers, just for the record, Minnesota might be the best team in the Big Ten West. Like, they could be. I've been less than impressed with Wisconsin. I've been less than impressed with Iowa. I've been less than impressed with Nebraska. There's Purdue that's sitting there. I know they're a good team. They might challenge Minnesota for that. I don't want to talk about Northwestern or Illinois. Like, I don't. By default, is Minnesota the best team in the Big Ten West? Like, maybe. I guess we'll see a little bit this weekend. But outside of that, I've got Minnesota number 28 in the country. I've got Colorado number 106. Like, this is not a good team at all. They're terrible, actually, if we're going to put it bluntly. Give me Minnesota. Give it to me for 10 confidence points. SB, what am I missing here? What do you think?
No, I'm with you 100% on everything. Colorado might be the worst Power 5 team in the country, without looking too hard off the top of my head. Minnesota, they've looked good so far. Mo Ibrahim, one of the best running backs in the country. Watching him tear his Achilles in the first game last year was just, like, brutal. And I'm happy to see him back. He's had a buck 20 both games. Colorado hasn't been able to stop anyone. I think Mo has a big game again. Minnesota, I don't know if they'll cover 28. It should be close. Colorado's collapsed the second half of both of their games. They were down 10 to Air Force, and then they lost 21-0 in the second half to Air Force. They were down 7-6 to TCU, and then in the second half it was 31-7 TCU. So even if it's close at halftime, I'm expecting a Colorado second half collapse. I'm also on Minnesota for 10 confidence points.
Yeah, I just want to say, just in my defense of my Purdue Boilermakers, before we start giving Minnesota all the hype, let's just take a quick look at who they played this far this season. That would be New Mexico State and Western Illinois. I just wanted to say that. The opponent, the quality and strength of opponents for Minnesota has been horrible to start the year. But that being said, they completely dominated both games. And I still can't believe Tanner Morgan's still playing quarterback for Minnesota. I thought he was done 2 years ago. That guy's got to be almost 30. He's just another one of those college athletes that just keeps coming back. But not a lot to say. I'm a big Mo Ibrahim guy as well. I like a good comeback story. It's cool to see him make it back from that Achilles injury, have the success. Minnesota laying 30 versus another, almost 30 versus another Power 5 opponent is baffling to me, but this is easy. I'm picking them with 10 confidence points at home this week.
SB, just to touch on what you said, did a quick check. Per my current ratings right now, yes, Colorado is the worst Power 5 team, and it's not necessarily that close at the current moment. So to recap this one, it's super easy, everybody. All three of us on Minnesota Golden Gophers for 10 confidence points. We're not exactly sure what this game's doing in the pick'em. Fingers crossed we don't all look stupid come Sunday.
Hopefully it's a free 10 for the squad. Yes. Hopefully it's a free 10 for the
That's
squad.
That's what I'm hoping. Kinger, you said Minnesota hasn't played anybody yet. I don't think this weekend's going to change that, but we've seen crazy results in college football already this season. The next game here, we've got an intriguing Sun Belt, or should I say Fun Belt, after last weekend matchup between Troy and App State out in Boone, North Carolina. Beautiful campus, great facilities, very picturesque. Kinger, what's Vegas think about Troy at App State?
App State, 11.5 point favorite at home, over-under sitting at 54.5.
SB, we talked about it earlier. App State just had a massive win at Kyle Field last week against the A&M Aggies. What do you think about this game this week against Troy?
Well, it's like I would say, I don't know if I can trust them, honestly. It could be a huge letdown game at home, but like they allowed 186 yards to A&M and only two plays over the 50, but they allowed 567 yards to North Carolina. So honestly, I'm not really sure what team is going to show up. I will say I'm higher on Chase Brice than a lot of people. I love Peoples and Noel in the backfield. Noel practiced yesterday, so he's expected to play, even though he missed the A&M game. I think they have a case for best duo tandem running back in the country. I think they're that good. Troy looked very good against Ole Miss. They put up 367 yards. They allowed 6 yards per carry, 266 yards total. So that could be a very big issue against this Appalachian State rushing attack. And Gunnar Watson for Troy, he turnover machine. I mean, they've had 2 turnovers in the first game, then 3 the second game, 5 turnovers the first 2 games. If they turn the ball over against Appalachian State, I think Appalachian State will make them pay. I'm going to be on Appalachian State for 6 confidence points. I think they're able to handle Troy by at least 10.
I'm not expecting a letdown here. I think App State's going to keep that momentum going. I think this is a really, really solid program. One of the best, if not the best, in the Sun Belt, which is quickly becoming, or will become starting next year, the best Group of Five conference out there. That East Division, which App State is in, is going to be so much fun to watch here in the coming years, at least as it's currently constructed or will be constructed. Give me App State in this one. I've got the Mountaineers number 51 in my power ratings. They did lose that week one game against North Carolina, as we talked about, but this great win against Texas A&M showed me what this team can do. They have a game plan. They've got a very solid program. I expect them to take care of Troy, who I have number 94 in my power ratings this week, which you might notice still 12 spots higher than Colorado Buffaloes. Colorado just so bad, guys, just to go back to it. Give me App State. I like them by 14.5 points, so even more than Vegas. It's an 85% win probability, so I am not expecting Troy to pull this upset. Give me App State and give them to me for 9 confidence points. Kinger?
Yeah, I want to just make one more comment on that App State A&M game. I don't know if this is confirmed or not, but I did see on Twitter today that not only did App State get the upset at A&M last weekend, but they also took College Game Day from them, because Game Day, I think, was supposed to be down for Texas A&M, Miami. Now they've transitioned. It's going to Boone, App State, Troy this week. I could see a scenario where this is a potential letdown game from App State. There is a scenario out there, but I just don't think it's going to be happen. I'm a Chase Brice guy like SB. They're running the ball incredibly efficiently right now, almost 235 yards per game on the ground. Troy is very susceptible in that run defense. Gunnar Watson, you said it. He can sling it around a little bit, but he's a turnover machine. I think App State and this momentum is just too much. I'm high on them this week. App State, 8 confidence points.
Kinger, I had not seen that about Game Day, but I absolutely believe it because this was announced late. It is a game that you would not expect a Game Day to go to before last week, so I absolutely believe that, which means, just to recap the App State-Texas A&M game last week, App State goes to A&M, they get the win, they get 1.5
million. Like a million and a half,
1.5 million, and they get College Game Day the following week. Good Lord, Aggie fans. We had Kyle Umlang on the podcast earlier this year, Kinger. He's got to have an Aggie fact about this one moving forward in his Volume 3 book, whenever that one comes out. To recap this game, guys, we're all on App State. I'm most confident taking the Mountaineers for 9, Kinger on them for 8, and SB taking App State for 6. The next game, SB, let's start with you on this one. We've got Mississippi State going on the road to play LSU in Death Valley. Brian Kelly, off to a rocky start there. A little bit of a bounce back last week, maybe. What do you make of this game, Kinger? What's the Vegas numbers here, Mississippi State at LSU?
Mississippi State's -2 on the road, over under at 54.
SB, what do you think? Mississippi State at LSU.
Yeah, this is one that I went back and forth with, honestly. And I'm not going to lie, I'm probably going to go back and forth on it all the way till I decide who I think is going to win on Saturday. Like, it's that close. I think Mississippi State, to me, has been one of the more impressive teams in the country so far this year. They had 2 dominating victories versus Memphis and Arizona, although granted not great teams. They handedly covered both. Will Rogers has looked the part, and I think this team is finally getting into that offense that they've always wanted to. LSU, Jaden Daniels has looked good. Can they get a big win against Mississippi State at home? Death Valley at night is always a tough environment, so they have that going for them. But I think LSU's biggest question is the running game. I think if Jaden Daniels, if you're going to have him try to do it all, I think that's going to be a major problem for LSU, and he just won't be able to. If they're able to establish some type of rushing attack, then I think they can pull this one out. For me, one of the numbers that stuck out immediately with the total at 54, like I like the over in this right straight away. I think both teams put up over 24 and we get a 30-27 type of game maybe. But for now, as of today, I'm going to take Mississippi State 2 confidence points.
I'm right there with you, SB. I'm taking Mississippi State for 2. And this is a game, again, I'm going back and forth with. And this is going to be, I think, good litmus test here for where Mississippi State is at. You mentioned, I agree with you, and wholeheartedly, they have been one of the more impressive teams this season. 2 very good wins. I love what Will Rogers is doing on the offensive side of the ball. Emmanuel Forbes is one of my favorite players to watch on the defensive side of the ball. They're a cornerback. But with Mississippi State and these Mike Leach teams every single year, it's the discipline. It's the dumb mistakes. It's the turnovers. We battled that a little bit in the second half versus Arizona last week. We were able to hold on. This is a different level opponent. This is going to be the best defense that they played this year. And I think Jaden Daniels is going to have to get it done through the air. He's going to have to make some plays. You talk about the running game. That's going to be important. But ultimately, at the end of the day, I think Mississippi State's defense is going to be able to contain that. I think Daniels is going to have to make some throws against that secondary. Will Rogers went off last year. They did end up losing to LSU. I think he's going to have another big game. So I'm going to lean Mississippi State here with 2 confidence points as well.
This game is all about Mississippi State to me. This is a team that has risen rapidly up my power ratings. I have them all the way up to number 10 this week. Going on the road to LSU is a very difficult task for any team any year, including Mississippi State this year. Guys, this is the first of what's going to be many fantastic SEC West showdowns, toughest division in college football. Every single team, all 7 of them, are fantastic this year in my top 30 or hanging around my top 30. This game, no exception. Mississippi State number 10, LSU number 24. I know it wasn't the start to the season that LSU fans wanted. I still think Brian Kelly is a fantastic coach. I still think things are going to work out just fine for him at LSU. I'm taking Mississippi State in this game because that's what my numbers say. I like them by 1 point. It's a 53% win probability. I would not be surprised at all if this LSU team finds a way to win this game at home, but I'm going with Mississippi State. I think they've been phenomenal so far, and I'm looking forward to watching this game. Anytime 2 SEC West teams get together, it's must-see television for me, and I'm not even an SEC guy. Like, I love the SEC. I love the SEC West. These teams are fantastic. Give me Mississippi State and give them to me for 3 confidence points. So to recap this one, we are all on the Bulldogs. I am the most confident, and I just got done telling you I am not confident at all. Give me Mississippi State for 3. Kinger and SB both on Mississippi State for 2. Kinger, let's start with you on this next game. We've got Texas Tech going on the road to NC State. What should be an interesting game, I think. I'm not sure how competitive it will be, but I'm very interested to see how these teams match up against each other. So give us the Vegas info, Kinger, and then dive right into it. Texas Tech at NC State.
Yeah, NC State is -10.5 at home, over-under is sitting at 55.5. I actually think this game is going to be close, Kelly, and I'll tell you why. Number one is I don't think Devin Leary in this NC State offense has really been impressive at all through the first couple weeks of the season. I think a lot of people were high on Leary this year. I was one of them. I'm on that over NC State 9 wins. But his accuracy and just how they've looked throwing the football has been a struggle. I still think that defense is going to be very good. But I think Texas Tech's defense has been a little bit of a surprise this season. They held Clayton Tune relatively in check last week. Donovan Smith, not necessarily struggling with turnovers a little bit, maybe not necessarily the numbers you're hoping for from the quarterback position, but he's been solid. He can move the ball. He is a versatile threat for them, both throwing and the ability to run the ball a little bit. It is an NC State, so I'm definitely going to take them. I'm taking them with 6 confidence points, but I think I'm going to take Texas Tech getting the 10.5 points this week. I think it's going to be a close game. I think Texas Tech's defense, based on how NC State has performed this far, is going to be a tough match for NC State. So that's my thoughts. We're rolling with NC State with 6.
I don't go off gut feel a whole lot, King. We know this. I know you and SB both do, and you guys are both very successful because of that. My numbers would agree with you, King. I like NC State in this game, and I like them by 7.5 points. So I think it's going to be closer than Vegas. My model does, I should say. Something about this, I just feel like NC State could run away with it. Now watch. Texas Tech could come out and win this game, but I just... you were about to say something there, King.
You think NC State's due, essentially, then, which I wouldn't be surprised by.
I do think NC State could run away with this one. My numbers like it by 7.5. I've got NC State as the number 23 team in the country. Texas Tech number 42. So this is a very solid Texas Tech program. I took some heat in the preseason from Texas Tech fans because they thought they should have been higher than they were. I don't know what it is about the Big 12. Texas Tech fans mad at me. West Virginia fans mad at me. Kansas State fans mad at me. I just can't make anybody happy in the Big 12, and that's okay. This is We Hate Your Team. I guess I'm going to hate Texas Tech this week just to go with it. Give me NC State. I got a 70% win probability, so that's good for 7 confidence points in the Wolfpack this week. SB, what about you?
Yeah, I'm hating on Texas Tech this week. Pretty big. I think the NC State is due. NC State, they were one of my, as a lot of people, preseason hype. They were one of my top teams going into this season. I had a small future on them to win the ACC. I still think it's possible. Dennis Leary came in with some deep Heisman hype, like as a potential sleeper if they could make a run. And they haven't really looked the part yet. They had a tough game versus ECU. I think they came in with so much hype. They were hyped up for that game. They didn't look good. I think they righted things last week against a horrible Charleston Southern team. And I think this is the week they finally put it all together. The defense looks the part. And I think they just absolutely demolished Texas Tech. I think this could be a 3-score game. Donovan Smith, he's a wild card. He makes the game exciting, turns the ball over. Anything could really happen with him. And I don't think that's the recipe for success against an NC State defense that has 9 or 10 returning starters, I believe. And they could cause a lot of problems, I believe. So I got NC State big, I think, and NC State for 8 confidence points.
So SB's gut kind of aligned with mine there. I can't put my finger on why, but I do think NC State's got a real chance in this one to run away with it. To recap, we are all on NC State with varying levels of confidence. SB the most confident with 8. I am on the Wolfpack.
I'll also say I think they have a potential for a huge letdown after that win versus Houston. They stormed the field. Big week for them. Upset in Houston. That's a rivalry game in state. And now you got to travel to the East Coast. Could be a tough one.
Agreed. It is a tricky spot in the schedule for Texas Tech for sure. So SB's on NC State for 8. I am on NC State for 7. Kinger on the Wolfpack for 6. King, let's start with you on this one because we got a Big Ten team involved here. We've got Michigan State going way across the country to take on the Washington Huskies. Kinger, give us the Vegas info and then tell us who you like in this game.
Yeah, Washington is 3.5-point favorites at home, over under 55. And again, this game, I have no clue on this one. I ended up with 4 confidence points on this. I'll get to my reasons why, but Washington definitely an early surprise this season. It's a fun matchup. Both teams dealing with some injuries, particularly on the defensive side of the ball. But this Washington QB, he's got some familiarity with Michigan State from his Big Ten days. Michael Penix taking over, leading this new Kalen DeBoer offense that's quickly gone from being one of, if not the worst in the Pac-12 to now being an exciting team to watch on the offensive side of the ball. MSU defense struggled big time last year, particularly in the passing game. It's expected to be improved. But I think the big thing and where the advantage is going to come down to is I think Peyton Thorne and this MSU offense, this run game, is going to overpower Washington in the long run. I'm taking MSU with 4 as a 3.5-point underdog. I don't feel necessarily too confident with that pick. But I think MSU is the better team here. They're more complete. I think they get it done on the road.
SB, what say you about this game?
Well, the first thing that jumped out to me, I know there's injuries on the defensive side of the ball, but I just thought the number straight away, 56, that's
too high.
A little too high for me. Yeah. Right away, I'm looking at that under. I think both teams like running the ball. Penix Jr.'s look great. Jalen Berger, he's been absolutely great for Michigan State. I think he could be Michigan State's next great running back. He's looked awesome. Mel Tucker, I mean, you just got to be impressed with what he's done. They don't bring in huge recruiting classes. They haven't been necessarily favorites in a lot of games, and he just continues to do the job there. And even though they're on the road, Washington's favored, I got to think Washington's going to pull this one out. I'm not really sure why. Like you said, this one I wrestled with going back and forth as well. I'm going to take Washington for 4 confidence points.
I don't really understand, like Kinger, you said Washington being favored in this game. Like I'm looking at it and it's Washington by 3.5. My number's actually like Michigan State by 3. I mean, you're crossing some big betting lines right here from not just taking the underdog to win outright, but you're crossing like the field goal numbers. I don't get it. I mean, Vegas is loving Washington this season. They're buying into their improvement that they have out there, taking a new direction in this program, new quarterback, new coach, as you guys have talked about. And I think there's things alike. I mean, I've got Washington number 36. They've cracked the top 40 of my power ratings this week for the first time this year. I think they started the year number 50 or so. So I've liked what I've seen so far from Washington as well. But Michigan State, still, to me, the number 16 team in the country. It's a team, the style of play that this team has, that I think they can go on the road. I think they can get a win in a hostile environment. I fully expect Michigan State to win this game. Vegas doesn't think so, which makes me very nervous because the people in Vegas are much smarter than me, and that's why they've got the gold buildings and I don't. But my numbers say Michigan State, and I'm rolling with it. So I've got Michigan State, like I said, by three. It's a 59% win probability, so give me Michigan State for four. So to recap, we all have four confidence points on this game. Kinger and I on Michigan State, SB on Washington. So this next game, guys, we've got UCF going on the road to FAU. Kinger, what's the Vegas info on this one?
UCF is laying 9, over under 58.
SB, what do you make of this game, UCF at FAU, a in-state showdown down there in Florida?
Well, just this was one where the total jumped out to me immediately for the over for this one. I think we got two good QBs. Nikosi Perry, is he finally playing up to his potential that everyone thought he had a few years ago? It looks like it. The FAU offense looks great. I've loved what I've seen from Plumlee for UCF so far. It's incredible to me that he was playing wide receiver. He hasn't played quarterback in a couple of years, and I think he's moving the ball well. Ohio absolutely rolled the FAU defense, absolutely rolled them. UCF had a lot of trouble with Louisville last week, and I think getting an FAU defense that has some question marks, I think UCF finally finds the offense that they're looking for. The UCF defense has been great. Their secondary is awesome, but their front seven also has some question marks. They allowed 226 rushing yards to Louisville, 5 yards a carry. So I think FAU is going to be able to put up some points as well, which is the 58 total to me. I think it's going to go well over that just looking at it. But I like UCF to pull out the win on the road. I have UCF for 7 confidence points.
I don't have much to add to this game. I like UCF. I like them by a little bit less than Vegas. I like the Knights by 7 points. I got UCF number 44 in my power ratings. FAU down at number 80. They are at home, which will make it a little bit closer than those numbers might suggest. But it's a 69% win probability for UCF. So give me UCF, and I'm going to take them for 6 confidence points in this game.
I was just going to say, SB pretty much covered my notes on this game. I don't really have a lot to add either. Nikosi Berry has been pretty impressive. He's definitely been more than formidable. I think this FAU offense is going to score some points. That front seven for UCF, very susceptible against the run thus far this year. But ultimately, I like Rice Plumlee and this offense to have a bounce back week. Malzahn's going to have this team fired up after really a complete dud of a second half after a pretty decent start versus Louisville last week. So give me UCF for 7 points as well.
All right, so to recap this one, SB and Kinger both on UCF for 7. I am on the Knights for 6. We've got one final game. We're not going to let SB go first since he took all those salient points from the last one. We loved that. Didn't have much for King and I to add to it. This is a really intriguing game, though. We've got Miami going on the road to a Texas A&M team that just has to be reeling. They've got to turn this around quickly. Kinger, what's Vegas say about Miami at A&M?
A&M is a 5.5-point favorite. Over-under is 48.5.
So Vegas thinks that A&M's going to turn it around. 5.5-point favorites here. They're welcoming in a good Miami team, a Miami team that looks much different this year under Mario Cristobal than they did last year. Guys, I don't know. I'm very excited about this game. It will have the main screen in my setup for sure. If A&M loses this game, they will be 1-2 on the season, and that's a pretty young roster. There's a lot of really, really good talent on that roster that are the freshmen and the sophomore classes. I worry that they might lose some focus. They might lose the attention. They might lose interest in this team and in this season if they start 1-2. There is a lot riding on this game. Jimbo Fisher and his staff need to figure it out, and they need to figure it out yesterday. This has to happen for them. My numbers do like A&M, but I don't like them by 5.5. I like Miami, I like A&M by 0.5 point. That is all. It's a 51% win probability. A&M sunk to number 25 in my power ratings this week. Miami number 15. Give me A&M, but I would not be surprised at all if Miami goes in there and gets a win. I'm taking the Aggies reluctantly, and I'm taking them for 2 confidence points. Kinger, what about you?
I didn't, coming into this episode when we were reviewing, going over, you know, who my picks were, I had no idea, and I still don't really have an idea who I'm going to pick. This will be a Saturday thing as well, but I'm leaning A&M. There's no way that they have two home letdowns in a row. They, on paper, are the more complete team, specifically on the defensive side, and I think the matchup there is Miami is averaging over 7 yards per play on offense this year. A&M defense allowing just 3.7 yards per play. I still got to take the defense. I actually lean under in this game. Miami had a terrible start to that game versus Southern Mississippi last week. They were down at half, picked it up, ended up having a pretty successful result. But on the road, A&M is going to be hungry for a win. I don't think that offense is going to magically turn itself around, but I do expect better results this week. So I'm going to take A&M. I'm not going to touch this game betting, but I'm taking them with one confidence point.
Yeah, I agree completely. This isn't a game I'll be touching betting wise. First off, I don't trust Hayden King. I'm not sure Texas A&M fans do either. Never really sure what we're going to get from him. I think A&M, they need to find a running game. They've averaged under 4 yards per carry both games this season, which shouldn't be happening with a top recruiting class. The recruiting classes that Jimbo has brought in, they just got to be better on offense, straight up. Or Jimbo could be in the hot seat if they don't pull this one out. Miami, as you said, awful first half last week. I unfortunately was on them, and the first half blew the whole game for it. But yeah, they're on my blacklist for now. But I think A&M at home, I just don't see them losing twice, two in a row at home. Miami has to go on the road. I have A&M for 5 confidence points in this one.
All right, so we've all expressed reservations about the Aggies, but we are all taking Texas A&M. To recap, SB on A&M for 5. I am on Texas A&M for 2, and Kinger likes the Aggies for 1. So that wraps up our picks, guys, but we're not done. Kinger, I know you've got some best bets, and SB, as King said, first real resident expert here, guest picker this year. We definitely want to get your take if there's anything. You mentioned a couple of those overs, unders that are sticking out to you. Kinger, let's hear your best bets, and then SB, we want to make sure that we give you some time, too, to give our listeners some knowledge.
I got a quick 5-play card here to start. So Kelly, I'd love to hear, as again, always throw the numbers out what you got. First game, I am taking BYU plus 3.5. I'm probably going to sprinkle money line with that, but on the road at Oregon, especially with that hook, I'm high on BYU this week.
My numbers are with you there.
Penn State minus 2.5. Again, you said you liked them by about 5 or 6. Is that correct?
Yes, sir. I like this one too.
I just think they're the more complete team. I really like Georgia Southern this week, plus 11.5. At UAB, this UAB defense is what they are going to be known for. But I think Georgia Southern has proven enough. They're getting 12 on the road. This offense is electric. Big numbers versus Nebraska last week. Again, I don't think Nebraska's defense is anything to write home about. But I think 12 is too much. UAB hasn't been too impressive. I think they got a loss to Liberty on their schedule already as well. They've struggled on the offensive side of the ball. I think it's going to be a little bit of improvement this week versus that Georgia Southern defense. But I think 12 is too, or 11.5 is too much in this one.
My numbers like UAB to win the game outright, but they only like them by 9.5. So, Kinger, I'm with you on that one, too.
Okay, Texas Tech plus 10.5. I talked about. I'm on that one. Last one, Kansas plus 10. This might be recency bias, but Houston has been less than impressive on the defensive side of the ball this year. I think that was a team that was very sound last year. They were supposed to be sound again this year. They've shown a lot of holes. They've let up some yards, specifically through the air. I like this Kansas quarterback. I think Jalen Daniel, I think is his name. Watching that fourth quarter of that West Virginia game last week, that was fun to watch. A lot of good football there. Kansas really stormed back there in the second half. I like Kansas to keep it close. I don't think Houston blows them out this week.
This is Kansas at Houston. Is that correct, King?
Correct.
And the line is 10?
Yep.
I like Houston. I like them by 9.5. So I probably wouldn't touch this one, but I am on your side if I had to go one way or the other. So, yep, I'm with you on that one as well.
Yep, so we're rolling with these. Like you said, the card is definitely going to expand this weekend, you know, especially after I want to hear what SB has to say, too. I might be adding to this as well. But those we're recording early in the week, but those 5 stuck out at me right off the bat.
SB, let's hear it, man.
All right, so first, I spoke about it earlier, the Penn State Auburn under being, I think, what'd you say, 48.5, 49.5?
48.5, yep.
Yeah, I think that's a tad too high right now, so that's definitely one that I'm eyeing. I haven't locked anything in yet, but these are definitely some that I'm going to be taking a look at over the next 24 hours to lock in, hopefully. Mississippi State LSU, over 55. I like that. I think both offenses should be able to score enough to get that one. Where else are we at? I had another under. Oh, BYU plus 3.5. I lean towards that one as well, even though I'm on Oregon. I think if Oregon wins, it's going to be a very, very close score. Getting the hook, as you said, Kinger, I love that. I think that one's a pretty much no-brainer for me at this point. And then a couple others that we hadn't talked about. I am a Georgia fan, I must say. But right now it looks like Georgia's team total is going to be about 37.5 against a South Carolina team that just got absolutely rocked last week defensively. And Georgia really hasn't found their running game yet. They didn't run the ball great last week. They only averaged about 4.5, I believe, yards a carry. But South Carolina has shown no resistance on defense. The over is 52. I think Georgia is able to put up 40, no problem, against South Carolina, even though it's in South Carolina. We shall see. And then you guys will like this one. Purdue right now is at a pick 'em. And
yes.
Syracuse has shown good stuff, but I think Purdue is a much more complete team. Syracuse just, to me, is due. Like, I don't think they're as good as they've shown. So I think they're due for a letdown. And I think Purdue is one of the better teams in that division. And I think they're able to pull one out on the road at Syracuse. And for now, those are the ones that are really jumping out at me.
I just wanted to throw out SB. I've had Purdue sitting in the betting queue the last 3 hours. And I didn't want to throw that out as the homer because Syracuse still has looked pretty good thus far this season, but I don't think they faced an offense like Purdue. I think Purdue's shown enough, especially with the run defense this year, to be able to make Syracuse pretty one-dimensional. I think Purdue is the better team. At a pick 'em, I'm probably going to add that to my card as well.
Yeah, Kelly, what's the number say for that one for Purdue?
Oh, I was hoping you wouldn't ask. Our listeners aren't going to like this. My numbers like Syracuse in this game. They like them by a point, so it's a 53% win probability, guys. That's a toss-up. Like, I would. Purdue could win this game.
And the home field gives them the extra bump there at the end, correct?
The home field's the difference. I have Purdue as the better team. Purdue's number 31 this week, Syracuse number 37. Like, Purdue's the better team on a neutral field. This game's at Syracuse. I don't think it's probably a full 2.5 points worth of home field advantage at Syracuse, but that's what my numbers assume for all games in college football, at least for now. We'll think about maybe a tweak in that in the future to be more a little bit more accurate, but a lot of work. I don't have the time for it right now. So I like Syracuse in that game. I know you both like Purdue. I hope I'm wrong for my Boilermakers' sake, but that's what the numbers say now since we asked. All right, well, that's going to wrap us up, guys. SB, right before we get out of here, remind everybody again, one more time, where can they find you on Twitter? Where can they find your work? Make sure you spell that Twitter handle, too, because it's not necessarily intuitive. You got an extra letter in there, if I'm not mistaken, correct? So remind everyone, where can they find you?
Yeah, someone stole the other one I wanted. But so you guys can find me on Twitter, at SureBets, with two S's at the end. And then I post some written content on Twitter. I post some written content on BetSparts once in a while. So you guys can find me there, and hopefully – follow my picks or fade my picks, whatever you want to do, whatever makes you more money.
Kinger, what do you think of our first betting expert as a guest this week? Right up your alley, man.
Right up my alley. SB, it was great, man. Love the insight. Love the knowledge. Love what you're doing, your work. I look forward to following it. BetSparts, I'm definitely going to get on that train as well. Read in more of your content. Continue to follow you. It was awesome, man. Hope to have you back on in the future.
Yeah, definitely. Appreciate you guys having me. Thank you. Maybe Kelly can teach us both how to model someday.
Yes, although I don't think my brain has the capacity to handle that, if I'm being honest.
Me neither. I got a C+ in high school.
Oh gosh, Kinger, you and SB, I'm telling you guys, this is too good. You guys are too similar. I absolutely love it. SB, thank you so much for joining us. We really appreciated it. Thank you all for listening. We appreciate you more so than ever. This has been the We Hate Your Team podcast. Until next time, enjoy week 3 of the 2022 college football season.